This is Carol Foster of 2 Timothy 2:15 Resources, and I am so excited that you're going to join me today as we study God's Word. The response new Messianic believers give when asked why they initially visited a Messianic congregation is, "We knew there had to be more." As we study together, we will begin to see that yes, indeed, there has to be more. For additional study aids to assist you in studying along with us, go to our website, sectim.org.
Well, I am so glad to have my husband, Doug, with me again for our program today.
Thank you for letting me be here.
And we're going to continue our discussion on unity within the body of Messiah.
Amen.
We were talking about how the unity within the body is built upon relationships, but with a plan and a purpose, as we stated in our previous program. But I want you to bring in, if you would please, some of the things that are really important in order to minister to each other and to build the relationship and unity within the body itself.
Absolutely. You know, one thing we fail to look at is, who's responsible for this? You know, when we come together as one in the body of Yeshua, it's only then that we can really find joy and peace. But how do we come together as one? Most of us will say, well, I don't agree with what they believe, or I don't like some of the things they do. But so what? You know, this is what we call a midrash. When you start discussing what your differences are, you can learn from them. You don't necessarily have to agree with them, but you go away as friends. You listen to what they say. You evaluate it. Maybe it'll make some change to what you think. Maybe it won't. But it's a learning situation. Even if you don't agree, you will learn why you don't agree.
I think one of the things that happens in a discussion, especially believers, I think, is that we try to convince
yes.
the other person that what we think or believe is right and that they're wrong.
Correct.
You know, a midrash means that you can agree to disagree and still leave as friends.
That is so important because, you know, that's what doctrine does to divide the church. It leads to separation instead of unity. You know, is doctrine important? Yeah, it is. And you got to realize that your doctrine is set up because that's what part of the body you are. If you're a foot, you don't have the same type of doctrine as the eye would. The eye doesn't have the same type of doctrine that your nose would, or your tongue.
Well, you know, I'm not sure I would label it doctrine. What I think it is purpose.
Okay.
A purpose. I know churches that their entire emphasis is on salvation.
Yes, that's true.
I mean, they're large churches, but their turnover is usually pretty great because as you mature and develop in the Lord, you grow. And, you know,
we should.
And we don't need to hear, we need to be saved every Sunday for 3 years if we've been saved 3 years ago.
Or every Shabbat.
Or every Shabbat, correct. But what we need to know is how do we put what we have learned now into practice?
And that's where you go into discussions,
mm-hmm.
when you start talking to one another.
Now, and I know our particular church is on growing.
Oh, absolutely.
The believer. Our Messianic congregation is on maturing and growing the believer. We have probably 90% of our congregation, if you would ask them, would say, you know, why are you here? And they say, well, there had to be more. There had to be more. And then there's other churches that deal with young adults. And every church has a plan and a purpose within the mission that God has given the church on earth to
Absolutely.
Fulfill.
So why fight each other?
Now, you know, it's like siblings, I guess. You know, you just can't get along until you get mature enough to realize that. And I don't think our body has become mature enough in all areas to realize that.
Unfortunately, it hasn't. Yeah, but one of the things that our body also offers is friendship.
Mm-hmm.
We realize that people are different. And there's some rules here that we really need to take a look at. And the first one is you take responsibility for yourself. You know, often we're the source of our own problems.
We're our own biggest problem.
We're our own biggest problem and not the victim. So what are your fears and your feelings about a situation? Are they healthy? If they're healthy, great. Go with them, you know. And some things cannot be compromised, such as our belief in Hashem and Yeshua as your Redeemer. The one true fact is Yeshua and Him crucified. That's immovable. But some things you need to look at yourself first. And this is really especially true in marriage. If you're a husband and wife coming together, guess what? You're coming from different backgrounds.
You're different life experiences.
Different life experiences. You've got different situations in your life. Therefore, you've got different feelings. Some words can be said that can be taken wrong. The big thing I'd like to mention is when we first got married, I'm a type of person that I like to help. I mean, I feel that that makes me belong if I can help. And when I first asked you if I could help in the kitchen, I would always get a no. And that puzzled me for a long time. Finally, when we were able to talk about it, I realized that if somebody asked you if they could help, it was telling you that you were doing it wrong or that they could do it better and not that they just wanted to help you.
Well, we all bring our life experiences to our perception.
Absolutely.
And like I've said before, it's like looking at the world through colored lenses, and the colored lenses are our experiences from our past.
And that's exactly what it is. But that's why we've got to be careful in how we hear other people talk to us.
Well, you know, one of the things that we've learned through communication is that many times when we're having a discussion, we'll say, now, this is what I heard you say.
Yes.
Or, is this what you mean by saying this? Because, again, life experiences are different.
Correct.
I'm very passionate about things. Uh-huh. And I get very animated when I talk. And my voice will go up and my voice will go down depending on how excited I am about it or how strongly I feel about it.
Right.
And when we were first married, you took that as a sign of anger.
Sure. Because of my past experiences.
Because of your past experiences. So we all bring different eyeglasses to any situation, whether it be with a spouse, even with our children. You know, our children, once they are grown or even in high school, they have so many different experiences and exposures than we have. We really need to understand, have a common ground of communication. And that's never more important than it is in the body of believers as well.
Absolutely. One of the things I really like about our pastor is because of what we just talked about, he's been told on a couple of occasions that what he said from the pulpit didn't ring correctly for several believers. Well, he was willing to go up there and apologize and say what he really meant. He was willing, and it made a big difference.
Oh, right.
And how people take it.
You can drive people away, and you can ruin friendships and even ruin marriages.
Absolutely.
By not understanding what each other is really saying.
Yeah.
Because we can either draw our heads in like a turtle.
Right.
Or we can bury them like an ostrich.
Yeah.
But that doesn't resolve any problem. There's people who leave churches because someone said something.
Yes.
But don't have enough, I'm going to call it intestinal fortitude, have enough confidence, I guess is a better word, to go up and say, you know, I really didn't understand what you said. Could we talk about it? Because I really want to understand.
Absolutely.
In a non-confrontational manner.
That's being ehad. That's coming together. That's when you start to be a family. When you start to say, well, what did you really mean? And you know, one thing we have to do is compromise when necessary.
Decide what you're willing to give and what you can't give.
Exactly.
You know, does it really matter if the toothpaste is rolled from the bottom or not?
Yeah.
You know, does it really matter if the toilet tissue is hung roll down or roll up? I mean, the world's not going to end.
Exactly. So give in when necessary. And I mean, on trivial items like that, what's the point?
But I have seen huge fights or disagreements. I don't want to use the fights. Huge disagreements over what is right and wrong. It's kind of like the old story about the woman that bought a large, I'm going to say ham, we don't eat ham, but a large roast. That's the old word I work. A large roast.
Yes.
And put it in the roasting pan, and she cut off both ends every single time. So they'd buy this roast and have the ends cut off. And finally, after several years, her husband asked her, "Why are you cutting the ends off the roast? I mean, you know, we're wasting meat. What's going on here?" And she said, "Well, my mother always did that." Well, the next time she went to visit her mom, she asked her mom, "Mom, why are you cutting off the ends of the roast?" And her mom said, "Because my roasting pan wasn't big enough." You know, totally misunderstanding.
Yep.
But going with what was the past and not the present without asking and communicating about what was going on.
Communication is critical, you know, and it clears up many miscommunications. When you start talking, "Well, this is what I heard you say. Is that really what you meant?" And, you know, when you come from different parts of the country, things mean different.
Yes, they do.
You know, one of the big things I learned being part of the Messianic, Yeshua is going to come on a day when no one knows the day or the time. Well, that's Yom Teruah. And how many people in the church realize that that's a specific Moedim that God has set aside? And that's what they call it, because it's on a new moon. And you don't know which day it is or what time it's going to be.
Well, churches are split.
Yep.
Over where, which side of the platform the piano is on.
Oh.
Or yeah. Whether what carpet they should lay. You know,
and that's sad.
Which is really sad, because it's not an I win, you lose. And, you know, that's, I think, what many people go into a conversation with, is I win, you lose.
Yeah. Well, that's the way people are taught from the time they're born, almost. You've got to be right. You've got to have things your way or else. And especially in today's society, parents have no control over the children. It's being taken away from them. And so that's the way children are brought up.
Well, and the communication, respect. I think another thing that's vital with communication and being ahad, having unity.
Yes.
Is the respect for the other person.
That's the
Even
big thing.
Though you may not agree with them, you respect them. I have a saying that has gotten me through many challenging relationships. And it's, when I can't do it myself, I let the Ruach that lives in me love the Ruach that lives in them.
Yeah, that's what you've got to do. It's basically, it's respecting one another and not necessarily agreeing. Another thing we need to look at is accept the problems you run into as part of your life.
Wouldn't it be nice if we had absolutely no issues in life?
Oh, boy. Well, then we wouldn't grow either.
That's true. That is true. People change because either it no longer is comfortable to stay where they're at.
Yes.
Or they're not getting what they need from the situation they're in.
Exactly.
And we need to be more proactive. And again, communication is so important. You know, it's not a win-lose. It's how can we resolve this? A win-win, respecting each other.
And we need each other to help us through the process. It's not something that we're supposed to do on ourselves. It's not something we were made to do on ourselves. This is what friends are for.
Well, and this is a communication that we have with the Father through Yeshua.
Amen.
I mean, so many people are so busy going these and thous and whatever, that there's no real communication with the Father. One of the things that I learned quite a while ago, actually it was in Bible college, I was asked to write a psalm.
Yes, I remember that.
And, you know, I said, well, okay, I'll go, you know, they're all hallelujah, praise the Lord, you know, all these kind of psalms. And I thought, well, I guess maybe I should read them all, you know, to find out exactly what was going on. And David got mad. He shook his fist. He stamped his feet. Why, Lord, is this happening? Sick them. You know, take down my enemies.
Right.
And I realized that God wants real, true, honest communication. He knows us anyway. He knows what we're going through. He knows our internal feelings. He's like saying, talk to me about it. Tell me about it. Let me be your shoulder to cry on. Let me be the one that gives you an answer on how to solve this. Or let me just be the silent listener that gives you support. But he wants that communication with us. So absolutely. I wrote a song saying, why? Why? But through the process, I discovered why. But I never really thought to talk to God about it.
Yeah, that's very true. And as part of the body of Messiah, that's what we're here for. That's what being a Ehad is for. We have to be willing to listen to somebody else's problems. Maybe we can't do anything about it. And as hard as this sounds, especially for a man, there's many times when we're not supposed to do anything about it.
Oh, yes. Men want to fix it, ladies. Yep. You all know that. That sometimes you want to say, don't tell me how to fix it. Just listen to me rant and rave, and I'm fine.
Exactly. You know, if you can even lend an ear to somebody, you're there for them. And in doing this, it breeds trust. It breeds a family unity. Mm-hmm. It brings a unity in the church. When you can start trusting the person next to you, when you can start relying on them to go through a problem with you, even if it's just hearing it.
I often tell, especially ladies,
yes,
that I counsel with, you know, I'm there if you need me. I am there if you need just someone to sit with you while you cry. I am there for you if you just need to rant and rave. I promise I will not interfere. I will not open my mouth unless you want me to. But I am there. And many times, that's what people need to know.
Exactly.
That there is someone there.
Absolutely. When somebody is there for you, even if it's just to listen, you've got a safe haven.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a safe place that you can go to. And this is through the Ruach, because the Ruach is working through
That's right.
you for the other person. The other person is receiving your silence as trust. The other person is receiving your silence as a partner, as someone that they can feel free around and
it's
not threatened safe. By.
It's safe.
Exactly.
People need to be safe.
People need to be safe.
And church, congregation, your synagogue, that is the place. You know, it's a hospital.
It's a hospital.
It's a hospital for wounded people. And people need to feel safe. And part of that is knowing that when they talk to you, it's safe. Not only for them to talk to you, you're not going to correct them. You're not going to tell them, whoa, boy, you really messed up. But that you're not going to give that information to anybody else. It's not going to be conversation at the water cooler.
That's right. You know, relationships are based on trust, especially in the church. If you turn against that trust, you've just broken the relationship. Now, who do you trust? It should be the person that you can go to. And you start off little by little. First of all, you need to introduce yourself, and then you get to know them. Are they friendly? Are they hostile? Are they withholding? Are they willing to listen to you? Are they there for you? You know, you get to know them. And this goes over a period of time.
Right. There's no such thing as instant friendship.
No.
Or instant trust.
No, there's some people you have to trust instantly, such as going to a pastor or elder. That's what they're there for.
Right, right.
And unfortunately, some of them can't be trusted, but that's the exception, not the rule.
Well, even then, don't you think, Doug, that if you are called to the ministry, that one of the things that should have been developed in your maturity are these traits that we're talking about, which, you know, unfortunately, as you were saying, you know, kind of get stamped on every pastor. But still, even then, I suggest that you get to know them.
Yes,
know
absolutely.
Where your trust is. Just because someone has something hanging up in their office of ordination, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're worthy of trust.
Absolutely.
There's been a lot of hurt and damage done by people who have betrayed trust, not only at the pastor level, but at the friendship level in congregations.
Absolutely. And a lot of that is due to your past. If you've been hurt, a lot of people who are hurt tend to hurt others.
Mm-hmm.
And that's out of fear.
Yep, going to protect themselves.
Going to protect themselves. Nobody's going to come close to me again. I'm going to put up my wall and nobody's going to penetrate it.
Absolutely.
And the only way you can get through that wall is you make the acquaintance, you take what's given, and you don't push it.
One of the things that I have found is that I don't want to say spidey sense, but God has given me the ability to see pain in women.
Yeah.
Emotional pain. Whether it's from what has been said over them or to them or have been done to them.
Yeah.
And one of the things that it takes in order to be able to minister to women like these is to be able to relate and have compassion and mercy and no blame and so many things that makes the person feel worthy, makes them feel important, makes them feel safe. And if there's any place on God's green earth that a person, whether male or female, child or adult, should feel those things, it's in the body of Messiah.
Absolutely. That's what being a heart is about. Being part of the Ruach, being, you know, as believers in Yeshua, we're called to be an example of Him. That's what we're supposed to do. And Yeshua never turned somebody away who was hurting. You know, even the lepers that He healed, He knew what the result would be. All of them went away healed, but only one came back to thank Him.
Or the woman with the issue of blood.
Or the woman with the issue of blood. I felt the power go out of me. Yet He knew all the rules she broke in order to get to Him. For one thing, she was unclean. She didn't declare she was unclean. She came through a crowd when she was unclean and touched Him when she was unclean.
Well, just touching a man.
Just touching a man. Or touching anybody at that point while she was unclean should have been a rebuke. And yet He blessed her. And He said, "You're healed. Your faith has made you whole." He didn't turn her away. Mm-mm. He didn't rebuke her, just like we shouldn't rebuke anybody who comes to us in need.
One of the things I think is so terribly important is that God has given us our mission here on earth is to show the glory of God.
Amen.
To a dying and lost world.
Amen.
And the glory of God, if you'd study that word glory, it means to give an exact example of who God is.
Amen.
And we as believers have been mandated, it's our mission on this planet Earth, is to show the world God's goodness, His grace, His mercy, and His salvation. And we can only do that through being united as one.
Absolutely. Just as a parent loves their children, even when they mess up, the Father loves us when we mess up. And we need to love each other when we mess up.
You know, I've always told the kids, I love you. There's nothing in this world that will ever take me. There's nothing in this world that will ever make me not love you. But I may not like you right now. And I think that's what we need to do, you know, to our fellow believers.
Amen.
The love of Yeshua in me loves you through the love of Yeshua.
Amen.
Thank you so for joining us today, and we will see you next week.
Thank you for joining us today as we delved into the beautiful truths of God's Word to indeed discover that there has to be more. I pray that the Word applied to your daily life will bring a deeper understanding of His love letter written just to you. Let me remind you that we have additional study aids to assist you with our studies together on our website, secTIM.org. May this day fill you with the love of God, joy, and shalom, nothing missing, nothing broken.